And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Jody Glickman is an expert in training young people on how to be great on the job. Jody is an entrepreneur, an author, a public speaker, a consultant, and a regular blogger for the Harvard Business Review. She's author of The Great on the Job, What to Say, How to Say It, The Secrets of Getting Ahead. Jody is a former Peace Corps volunteer in southern Chile, turned investment banker, turned communications expert. She received her MBA from the Johnson Graduate School of Management at Cornell University. Before turning to the world of finance, Jody was a policy analyst in the U.S. EPA and did brief stints at the White House and the governor of Illinois' office. She has a B.S. in social policy, magna cum laude, no less, from Northwestern University School of Education and Social Policy. Jody lives in Chicago with her husband and her two little girls. Welcome to the show, Jody. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you for being our guest. I love to have thought leaders on here, and we're going to get into your background in a little bit. But I want to start out, first of all, with just what you're doing now, effective communication. And that's a skill that is not taught in our schools at any level. In fact, you start out your book with a story about Warren Buffett speaking to an audience at Columbia Business School students. He tells them, and this is a cool story, he tells them he'll pay each of them $100,000 for just 10% of their future earnings, which is an interesting trade-off. But then he goes on to say that if they improve their communication skills, their future earnings are going to be worth 50% more. So talk to me about that. What does Warren Buffett know that about communicating that he's trying to teach to the Columbia Business School students?
I think Warren Buffett is acknowledging that technical skills, while they're important, they are not what gets people promoted and compensated well. It is not what allows you to move ahead within any organization. The real basis of all business is relationships. It's your ability to interact with and relate to other people. It's your ability to build credibility, trust, goodwill with your colleagues, with your clients. And the only way that you do that is by live, in-person, face-to-face conversation. And Buffett acknowledges that he was challenged in that area. He goes on to say he went to Dale Carnegie to learn how to speak in public. But take it one step further. It's not just public speaking. It's literally those daily one-on-one conversations. And if you think about how Warren Buffett invests, he will meet a manager, spend 5 minutes with him, and then buy a $5 billion stake in a company. No amount of financial modeling is going to create that level of trust and understanding, as does that in-person conversation. And so I think Warren Buffett is acknowledging the key to success, it's not how smart you are. It's not how great you are at financial modeling or what a skilled investor you are. It is all about how you interact with and relate to other people.
Well, that's a critical observation. And I would contend that those little one-on-one conversations that you have are way more important than the public speeches and the public presentations that you give. Now, Jody, interestingly enough, your company, Great on the Job, has a very lofty goal. You're trying to turn the art of communication into a science. So I want to ask you, in this challenging economy, how can people get ahead in the workplace?
Well, they can read my book at the risk of putting in a wholly self-indulgent plug there. But I do think that communication skills can be taught. And I agree with you that that one-on-one daily conversation, that's how you make impressions on people. That's potentially 80% of your workday. The one-off public speaking engagement, that doesn't really make or break a career. But your ability to talk to people at work every day, to ask for help without sounding dumb, to answer a question you don't know the answer to raise a red flag when there's a problem coming down the pipeline, to give your manager a coherent, good download of information, that's what's so important. And so to get ahead today, when talent is struggling to get ahead in the workplace, in this economy, these skills are critical. And so I think that if people will take the time to actually focus on, okay, how am I going to handle this conversation? What am I going to say to my manager? How am I going to ask for help and make sure they know that I've put some thought and energy into the process before coming to them and asking for a solution?
All right. Well, let me stop you right there. We're talking to Jody Glickman, author of the book Great on the Job. And Jody, so much of the new technology today that we live in, the digital age, the email, texting, tweets, Facebook, all of that, those are really cornerstones, staples of the way young people today communicate. So I know that you're into the one-on-one communications, the face-to-face communications, but isn't the new model of business that these young people are bringing into the business world really going to be much more electronic tweets and Facebooks and so forth?
Well, listen, I love social media. I use it extensively. I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook. But I still contend it will never replace live one-to-one communication. You're never going to get a job without meeting the hiring manager. You're never going to close a million-dollar deal without talking to your counterpart. And you're never going to be able to sell your ideas at work via email, right? There's always going to be that live component. And so social media and technology are an amazing tool that we can use to make our lives better, but they do not replace those one-on-one conversations. If you screw up at work and you send your boss an email to tell her that you screwed up, that is just an ineffective way to work. You need to go pick up the phone or knock on her door and say, listen, I got an issue. I want to raise it with you. I want to talk through it with you. Here's the proposed solution. That goes 10 times further than sending an email and saying, uh-oh, we've got a problem here.
All right. We're talking to Jody Glickman. Jody, one of the things that I liked about your book was that you have a lot of real-world scenarios, just like the one that you laid out for us a moment ago in that answer. And then you give suggested words, verbiage that you can use. But at the corner, at the heart of it, you really have four qualities that are the backbone of all effective communication. What are those four qualities?
They are the gift of great on the job, and thank you for asking about them because I do love talking about them. They are generosity, initiative, forward momentum, and transparency. And I argue they are the cornerstone of all effective communicators. And when people think about key critical business skills, generosity is not one that typically comes to top of mind.
Sure.
Sure. But I talk about generosity in the workplace in terms of sharing your time generously, sharing credit easily, sharing your expertise with others, being cognizant of other people's agendas and schedules and working around them, trying to make your boss look better or smarter or have an easier time doing their job. That's being a generous employee. That's being a generous communicator. That helps you get ahead at work.
All right. Now, that's interesting, Jody, because you're right. Generosity wouldn't necessarily have been number one on my list, but the way you explain it, very, very clear to me. One that wasn't quite so clear to me when I first read it was forward momentum. What do you mean by that?
So business is all about relationships. And when you've got a relationship with someone, you've got to nurture it, you've got to maintain it and sustain it. And so one of the easiest ways to think about it is when I'm getting off the phone with someone or I'm leaving someone's office, I never say, okay, goodbye, right? I'm always saying, thanks so much. It was great speaking with you. I will look forward to staying in touch. I'll post you on the meeting, how the meeting goes. I'll come back to you if I have any further questions. Do you have any additional questions for me? Let's follow up next week. I'm always thinking ahead two steps. And so that's what you need to do to move the ball forward. You always want to show people at work that you're thinking ahead. You're moving the ball forward. And if you're making a connection with someone, you want to leave the door open for future conversations and interactions.
All right, so that's forward momentum. We're talking to Jody Glickman, great on the job, how to say, what to say, how to say it, and the secrets of getting ahead. And transparency. Now, transparency, we all think about transparency in the digital world where everything is public. What do you mean by transparency as a cornerstone of communication?
I mean being forthright and honest with information. I mean sharing information as soon as it gets to you, not hoarding it or withholding it. I mean being honest about not knowing the answer or not having the information, but then being proactive and going to get it. So in my mind, transparency is all about managing expectations. It's all about raising a red flag in advance of a problem. It's all about keeping your team up to speed. I think about it with the Blue Book. And the used car industry, right? The Blue Book brought a ton of transparency to the used car industry, giving you all of the information you need to make a decision whether or not to buy, you know, a lemon or a great car. And at work, if someone asks you to do something and you don't have time or resources or capacity to do it, you don't just say no, or you don't just say, uh-oh, how am I going to do it? It's, you know what, I'd love to help you out on that. I've got A, B, and C on my plate. Here's when I can get it to you. Does that timing work? If not, let's figure out another solution. That's being transparent.
All right. That makes it very, very clear. Jody, one of the things that I liked about your book, Great on the Job, it reverse engineers all of the conversations that you might have in different situations to help the reader become more effective. But one of the things that I noticed right from the beginning of the book, you start with hello and goodbye. I mean, of all things, isn't that an awkward place to start? Don't we already know how to say hello and goodbye? Isn't that a bit demeaning?
Well, we do, and I will put it back to you. Have you ever picked up the phone and someone has started talking to you and you thought, uh-oh, I didn't mean to pick up the phone, or I don't have time to talk to this person, or actually I'm not interested right now? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, it's happened on more than one occasion.
Okay, and so the way that you can avoid that is the minute you start a conversation with someone, you pick up the phone, you drop by their office, you stop by to say hello, what I always start with is, hi, how are you? Do you have a minute to talk? I'm always giving the other person an out. That's the way every conversation should start. And so while the hello and goodbye, people often say to me, I work with Harvard Business School students, and they say, do you really go in front of a group of Harvard Business School students and talk about the hello and goodbye? The truth is, not everyone masters it. Not everyone starts off with that key question, which is, do you have a minute to speak? And on the flip side, not everyone finishes the conversation with the forward momentum that you and I spoke about, with the thanks so much, I'll look forward to being in touch. Or thanks so much for your time, even if someone wasn't helpful. Or please let me know how I can return the favor. That's the way to make a great impression at the beginning and ending of every conversation.
All right. Well, give us then the three steps of your three-step hello process. One of them is asking the question, do you have time? But what else do you do when you make that initial contact?
So it's the introduction, it's the purpose of your call, and it's the key question. And the introduction is who you are and where you're calling from if you're on the phone, right?
Right.
Don't make me try and pick my brain. God, when did we meet? How do I know her? Who recommended her? Introduction, full name, where you're calling from, purpose of your call. I wanted to reach out to you today because Bill Moyer suggested I call you, because I have a question about the upcoming business memo that we're putting together, because I wanted to follow up with you on the fundraising event from last week. Tell me what you're calling about, and then ask me if I have the time and energy to engage in the conversation. And if I don't, you'll do much better saying, okay, well, is there a time we can find to talk for 5 minutes? And reschedule it so that you've got my full attention.
All right, great. We're talking to Jody Glickman, author of the book Great on the Job. Jody, you alluded to it in an earlier answer, but you've got some great advice for my listeners who are at work, and most of them are at work, by the way, about how to deal with one of the most difficult situations in business, and that is pushing back on other people's expectations that they're placing on you. Give us that full technique of when somebody comes to you with a new project and you've got a dozen other things going, how do you push back, but push back in a positive way?
Right. It's a great question, and it's oh so important. What you need to do is, first thing is you need to be enthusiastic, right, and proactive. Listen, I'd be happy to help you out on this project. I'm happy to take a look at this. Here's what I've got on my plate. So it's, you know, be proactive. Step two is be transparent. Tell me why there's an issue, right? I've got A, B, and C on my plate for the next 24 hours. As much as I'd love to take a look at this right now, I am totally, you know, capacity constrained. So highlight the issue and then propose a solution for me. And your solution might be, I can take a look at it tomorrow if that's okay. Your solution might be, if you want, I can go talk to my manager about, you know, taking one or two of these things off my plate right now so I can get to focus on what you need me to focus on. Or, you know, option three might be, if you want to go talk to the powers that be and you two want to duke it out over what you need me to focus on. So pushing back is not about saying no. It's just saying, listen, I'd like to help you. I'm happy to help you. Here's what I've got on my plate. Here are some options of how we can work together to make it work. But I'm not going to commit to something that I can't do well for you, because that's only going to blow up in my face.
All right, Jody, but let me challenge you just a little bit. I like your idea of proposing a solution, because that goes to your point of taking initiative. I do like that. But when you say, you know, I've got A, B, and C on my plate, should I go to my manager and talk about which one of these I can rearrange or send them directly to the manager and you guys duke it out? Isn't that almost counter-initiative? Isn't that almost abdicating responsibility and then putting the onus on the boss?
Well, yes, that's true. I mean, I think those are worst-case scenarios. Hopefully you and the other person can come to a solution and say, hey, listen, here's what I've got on my plate. Here's what I can realistically do. So I can realistically work on this tomorrow, or I can realistically maybe put something on the back burner myself. But if you can't get to the solution there, if there's no sort of easy solution that you can come up with on your own, that's when you've got to throw the ball back into the other person's court and say, listen, I'm willing to work with you here. I'll do whatever I can. But there potentially are external forces at work here, and I can't just stop exactly what I'm doing and start working on this without there being other repercussions for other projects I'm working on.
Makes sense, and that's a great answer. Now, we're talking to Jody Glickman. Jody, one of the other things in the book that I found interesting is something that you call a download, and you've got a foolproof strategy to deal with the three different types of downloads. We won't have time to go into all of them, but just describe for my listeners, what is a download, and what are the three different types of downloads that you experience day-to-day in business?
So the download is basically just an update for your boss, your manager, your colleague, your client, right? It's just the basic sharing of information. It's our most basic interaction that we have with people at work on a daily basis. If I need to come into your office and post you on the status of something, I refer to that as a download. The basic download is just sharing information, and the most important thing you can do in any download is lead with the punchline. I want you to tell me up front and center what's new, different, or important. If you don't have something new, different, or important, you probably don't need to come to my office and talk to me. So you lead with the punchline, then you give me the supporting details or highlights, and then you tell me what's coming next, the follow-up or action items.
All right.
Sometimes the second kind of download is when you don't have full information, which we often don't, but you still need to post your manager or your client. And so if you do that, lead with the punchline, tell me what's outstanding, the outstanding information, and then tell me how you're going to move forward without that information, or how you're going to get it.
Okay, great. We're talking to Jody Glickman. Jody, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Great on the Job?
I want readers to know that everyone can become a better communicator. Communication skills can be learned. Up until now, I think people thought they were either good communicators or they were bad, and they didn't really know how to go about getting better. Because if you didn't have a mentor or a good role model or it wasn't intuitive to you, again, it's not taught. And so the goal of Great on the Job is to take this and say, listen, you can learn to ask for help in a smart way. You can learn to implement the strategy and raise a red flag, tell someone you screwed up or there's a problem coming down the pipeline, and not get hosed for it, not be penalized. There are ways to communicate effectively in every situation, and the Great on the Job book gives you the strategies and the example language to do just that.
All right, Jody. Give my listeners who are listening at work just one thing that they can immediately put to work that's going to improve their communication effectiveness.
I would begin every conversation with, do you have a minute to speak?
Do you have a minute to speak? The common courtesy of saying, hey, I have something important, but you might be also working on something important. I think that is a great, great idea. We've been talking to Jody Glickman, author of the book, Great on the Job, What to Say, How to Say It, The Secrets of Getting Ahead. Jody, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
I am all over the place in social media, but you can find me at www.greatonthejob.com. That is my website. I'm on Twitter with the handle @GreatOnTheJob, Facebook.com/GreatOnTheJob. You can email me, Jody, J-O-D-I, @GreatOnTheJob, and I also blog for Harvard Business Review, so you can find me anywhere you look.
Well, you are a great communicator. We've been talking to Jody Glickman. Jody, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much, Bill. Great speaking to you.
Thank you. Take care.